navigation, and nav instruments. This album contains 13 titles. They are ADF, DME, GPS, HSI, ILS, LDA, LORAN, MLS, NavAid Classes, RMI, RNAV, SDF, and VOR. ADF. ADF stands for Automatic Direction Finder and refers to the receiver in the aircraft that receives radio frequency or RF signals from ground stations. The ground stations are called NDBs, or non-directional beacons. NDB stations transmit in the low and medium frequency bands of the electromagnetic spectrum. The ADF receiver has an instrument needle that points to the tuned station and has a compass card, either a fixed or a movable one. The ADF may be used to home to a station or to track along a course to a station. Homing is flying the aircraft on any heading required to keep the needle on zero until the station is reached. Tracking is following a straight geographic path by establishing and maintaining a specific heading that will maintain the desired track, correcting for the effects of wind. When the azimuth needle points to the station, the needle indicates the angle between your heading and the direction to the station. This is measured clockwise from the nose of the aircraft. This angular difference is referred to as relative bearing to the station, and it is read directly from the fixed scale indicator. To determine magnetic bearing from your aircraft to a station, add the magnetic heading to the station from the heading indicator to the relative bearing taken from the head of the ADF needle. So the math for determining magnetic bearing to the station is magnetic bearing to the station equals relative bearing plus magnetic heading. Another way of calculating magnetic bearing to the station is by visualizing the magnetic bearing to the station superimposed on the face of the heading indicator. By visualizing the ADF needle superimposed on the face of the heading indicator, you've created a virtual instrument, which instantly allows you to visualize the relative bearing to the station. DME. DME, also known as distance measuring equipment, operates with a timed UHF signal transmitted between your aircraft and the ground station. The time it takes for the signal to go back and forth is measured and compared with a known constant, and a distance is resolved from that difference and appears on the DME indicator. DME shows nautical miles to or from the station and is not an actual horizontal or great circle distance, but a slant range distance instead. For that reason, when passing over a station, the indicator will decrease in range until indicating the height above the station. After crossing, it will start increasing. If you pass over a station at 6,000 AGL, for example, the DME will read 1 nautical mile. The greatest error in DME indications are when you are very close to the station at high altitude. For each 1,000 feet of altitude, the accuracy of the DME is valid for only 1 or more nautical miles from the station. DMEs are commonly co-located with VOR stations. For that reason, the DME identifier heard is actually one of 2 separate transmitters. The DME identifies itself once every 30 seconds. The remaining identifiers are the VOR, so if you hear only a single coded identifier every 30 seconds, then only the DME portion of the VORTAC would be operational. GPS. GPS, or Global Positioning Systems, are satellite-based navigation systems. The GPS receiver verifies the integrity of signals received from the satellites through what is known as RAIM, Romeo Alpha India Mike, which stands for Receiver Autonomous Integrity Monitoring. If RAIM is not available, one of at least 3 things must be done. Another type of navigation and approach system must be used, another destination selected, or the trip should be delayed until RAIM is predicted to be available on arrival. Most GPS receivers have a RAIM prediction page, which will tell you whether or not RAIM will be available. GPS fixes are referred to as waypoints. A waypoint is a predetermined geographical position used either for the definition of a particular route, for progress, position reporting, or as a fix on an en route or instrument approach chart. Two more things about GPS. One, some GPS receivers do not contain departure procedures in their databases. And two, if you specify an alternate airport, that alternate airport must have an approved instrument approach procedure other than GPS, which is expected to be operational at your alternate airport's ETA. HSI. The Horizontal Situation Indicator, or HSI, is really two instruments combined, a heading indicator and a VOR needle with a course arrow called a Course Deviation Indicator, or CDI. The CDI needle operates with a VOR or localizer signal, which when received, indicates left or right deviations from the course which was selected with the course arrow. The CDI needle moves left or right to indicate deviations from the center line in the same way that the pivoting movement of a conventional VOR or localizer needle indicates deviations from course. With an HSI, the desired course is selected by rotating the course knob, which in turn rotates the CDI needle within the instrument. This spins the needle around in relation to the azimuth card, giving you a representation of where you are, right or left of the selected course. The fixed aircraft symbol and the course deviation bar or needle display the aircraft relative to the selected course, as though you were above the aircraft looking down. The to-from indicator is a triangular-shaped pointer inside the HSI. When this indicator points to the head of the course arrow, it indicates that the course selected, if intercepted, will take you to the station, and vice versa. As long as the pointer of the needle points to the inbound course, the deviation indicator will provide normal sensing both inbound and outbound. The glide slope deviation pointer indicates the relationship of the aircraft to the glide slope. When the pointer is below the center position, you are above the glide slope, requiring an increased rate of descent. When the pointer is above the center position, you are below the glide slope, requiring shallowing out or stopping your descent. Many HSIs are switchable to operate either with your GPS receiver or with the VOR station. When operating in GPS mode, the HSI will indicate to the selected waypoint or fix. While operating in the VOR or localizer mode, the HSI will indicate to or from the station. ILS. The ILS, or Instrument Landing System, consists of a localizer, a glide slope, marker beacons, and approach lights. The localizer provides course guidance to the runway centerline. The approach course is called the front course. The localizer signal is transmitted from approximately 1,000 feet past the far end of the runway. At the runway threshold, the course width is adjusted to 700 feet. When tracking inbound on the localizer, drift corrections should be small and must be further reduced as the course narrows. When the outer marker is reached, enough drift correction should have already been established to allow completion of the approach with heading corrections no greater than 2 degrees left or right. Localizer identification consists of a four-letter identifier and always have the letter I as the first letter in the group. The identifier is transmitted in Morse code on the localizer frequency. The glide slope transmitter is automatically tuned when the localizer frequency is selected. The glide slope transmitter is offset from the runway approximately 1,000 feet from the approach end and projects an electronic signal beam received by the aircraft. The glide slope beam is 1.4 degrees deep, which is 0.7 degrees below the glide slope centerline and 0.7 degrees above the glide slope centerline. The glide slope angle is normally adjusted to 3 degrees above horizontal so that it intersects the middle marker approximately 200 feet AGL. The glide slope is usable to a distance of about 10 nautical miles. Low-powered transmitters called marker beacons are sometimes located along the ILS approach course. These beacons transmit their signals vertically upward in a very narrow beam. When you fly through a beam, a receiver is activated, which tells you the aircraft's position relative to the runway. The marker beacon farthest from the runway is the outer marker, located anywhere from 4 to 7 miles from the runway. Passing over the OM, you will hear a series of dashes. A blue light will illuminate. The blue light flashes in unison with a 400 Hz audio tone in a series of Morse code dashes. The outer marker indicates a position at which an aircraft at the appropriate altitude on the localizer course will intercept the glide slope. In the U.S., an NDB is sometimes combined with the outer marker beacon, and it is called a locator outer marker, or LOM. In Canada, low-powered NDBs have replaced marker beacons entirely. Approximately 3,500 feet from the landing threshold, an aircraft on the glide slope will cross over the middle marker at an altitude of approximately 200 feet. Over the middle marker, you will hear a 1.3 kHz tone of alternating dots and dashes, and an amber light will flash on the panel. At some locations, an inner marker may be located between the middle marker and the runway threshold. The inner marker is identified by a continuous series of dots at 3 kHz, transmitted at the rate of 6 per second, and the illumination of a white flashing light appears on the panel. When compass locators are co-located with outer and middle markers for identification, a locator outer marker, or LOM, transmits the first two letters of the localizer identification group. And the locator middle marker, or LMM, transmits the last two letters of the localizer identifier. LDA. In addition to ILS, there are two other kinds of localizer-type directional aids, LDA and SDF. Localizer-type directional aid, or LDA, has approximately the same accuracy as a localizer, except that the LDA course is not aligned with the runway. If the alignment is not greater than 30 degrees, then straight-in approach minima may be published. When alignment exceeds 30 degrees, then circling minima are published. An LDA approach uses a localizer of normal width, which is 5 degrees wide, that can come into the runway at an angle. It may have marker beacons and a glide slope, just like ILS approaches. The main difference is the alignment. The LDA is not aligned with the runway. LORAN. LORAN is an acronym for Long Range Navigation. LORAN is a terrestrial-based pulsed hyperbolic system operating in the 90 to 110 kHz frequency band. The system operation works by measuring the difference in time of the arrival of pulses of RF energy transmitted by a group of stations. LORAN receivers are sometimes approved for IFR en route operations. You can confirm whether or not the receiver is IFR approved by checking the FAA Form 337 or by looking it up in the supplement section of the airplane flight manual. LORAN use began a rapid decline with the advent of GPS. However, there currently are attempts to enhance and repopularize LORAN, mainly to serve as a backup and as a land-based alternative to GPS. In November 2009, the U.S. Coast Guard announced that LORAN-C is not needed for maritime navigation. MLS. MLS is an acronym for Microwave Landing System. MLS systems provides precision navigation guidance for exact alignment and descent to a runway. An MLS system provides azimuth, elevation angle, and range information, which is processed by the aircraft receiver to determine the aircraft's position on the approach. The MLS identification is a three-letter Morse code identifier, preceded by the Morse code letter M, which is two dashes. NAVAID classes. VOR and VORTAC stations are classified according to their operational use. Three classes, terminal, low altitude, and high altitude, are each designated as T, L, and H. The class defines the service volume of the NAVAID. Service volume is the reception limit to which an unrestricted NAVAID may be used for random or unpublished route navigation. Both service volume and restrictions of VOR and VORTAC facilities are found in the Airport Facility Directory and in the Aeronautical Information Manual. Restrictions are such things as unusable radials. Service volumes for T or terminal are from 1,000 AGL up to and including 12,000 AGL at radial distances out to 25 nautical miles. L or low altitude from 1,000 AGL up to and including 18,000 AGL at radial distances out to 40 nautical miles. Service volumes H or high altitude have three radial distance service volumes depending on your altitude. They are from 1,000 AGL up to and including 14,500 AGL at radial distances out to 40 nautical miles, from 14,500 AGL up to and including 60,000 feet at radial distances out to 100 nautical miles, and from 18,000 feet AGL up to and including 45,000 feet AGL at radial distances out to 130 nautical miles. RMI. An RMI, also known as a radio magnetic indicator, is a display which provides more information than a standard VOR indicator needle. RMIs have a compass card slaved to the aircraft's compass system, which lets you read the magnetic bearing to or from the station directly on the face of the instrument. The compass card rotates as the aircraft turns, displaying your magnetic heading under the index at the top of the instrument. Most RMI incorporate two direction needles. Often the one thin or single barrel needle is connected to an ADF, and the other thicker or double barrel needle is connected to a VOR. Multiple indicators on the RMI can help you accurately fix your position without requiring that you fly over the station. There is a great variation between RMI models, and so you must verify that your indicator is set up correctly to display information from the appropriate ADF and VOR selected. One or both needles can point to either a VOR or NDB station. When the needle points to an NDB, the tail of the needle shows the magnetic bearing from the station. When the needle is pointing to a VOR, the tail of the needle shows the radial you are on. Thus, if the VOR is tuned to a VOT, the RMI needle will point to 180 degrees. Showing the aircraft on the 360 radial. If a VOT is used to check accuracy of dual VORs, each RMI needle must point to 180 degrees, plus or minus 4 degrees. When dual VOR receivers are checked against each other, both VOR receivers are tuned to the same station, and the RMI needles must be within 4 degrees. To orient yourself relative to the VOR, first make sure you have tuned and identified the desired station. Then determine which radial you are on to find the quadrant in which you are located. In other words, look at the tail of the RMI needle and instantly see which radial you are on. Next, consider your heading, which is located under the lubber line, to determine your position within the quadrant. When using the RMI to fly a DME arc, wind orientation is important. With an RMI in a no-wind condition, the arc should theoretically be flown by keeping the RMI needle on the wingtip reference point. If a crosswind is drifting you away from the station, you must turn your aircraft until the bearing pointer is ahead of the wingtip reference. If a crosswind is drifting you toward the facility, you must turn your aircraft until the bearing pointer is behind the wingtip reference. A good rule of thumb in making range corrections is change the relative bearing 10 to 20 degrees for each 1/2 mile of deviation from the desired arc. SDF. Simplified Directional Facility, or SDF, is similar to a localizer, but the SDF is not as precise. The SDF signal is fixed at either 6 or 12 degrees course width. The SDF course may or may not be aligned with the runway because its antenna is sometimes offset from the runway. The thing to remember about an SDF is that the simplified directional facility provides a final approach course similar to that of the ILS localizer. it has no glide slope, and it may or may not be aligned with the runway. The SDF core's width is fixed at either 6 degrees or 12 degrees, and the antenna may be offset from the runway centerline. RNAV. RNAV stands for Area Navigation. RNAV is a system of navigation which allows you to fly a selected course without the need to overfly ground-based nav stations. The RNAV system was originally based on the existing VORTAX. In order to fly either an RNAV route or an RNAV approach under IFR, the aircraft must have an approved RNAV receiver. RNAV is a method of navigation that permits aircraft operation on any desired course within the navigational signal coverage, or within the limits of a self-contained system's capability. RNAV was developed in the 1960s, and the first such routes were published in the 70s. In January 1983, the FAA revoked all contiguous U.S. RNAV routes because it was found that pilots were using inertial navigation systems, or INS, rather than using the ground-based stations. During that time, RNAV routes in Alaska were retained because of the scarcity of ground-based navigational aids in that region. RNAV was later reinstated after the large-scale introduction of satellite navigation. VOR. VOR, the acronym for VHF Omnidirectional Radio Range, is a type of radio navigation system where a ground station broadcasts a signal in the VHF frequency range with the station's identifier, a navigation signal, and a voice channel, if the station is so equipped. VOR station identifiers are three-letter Morse code. The voice signal is usually the station name and either pre-recorded in-flight advisories or live broadcasts. The navigation signal allows you to determine your magnetic bearing from the station to your aircraft, or magnetic bearing from your aircraft to the station. The line of position between the station and your aircraft is called the radial, and it extends from the center of the VOR, like spokes from the hub of a wheel. The intersection of two radials from different VOR stations can help you approximate your position on a chart. VOR accuracy may be checked by means of a VOR test facility, also known as a VOT, with ground or airborne checkpoints, or by checking dual VORs against each other. VOT locations and frequencies are found in the airport facility directory. To use the VOT, tune to the appropriate frequency and rotate the knob to center the CDI needle. The bearing selector should read 0 degrees with a from indication, or 180 degrees with a to indication. The allowable error is plus or minus 4 degrees. VOR receiver checkpoints are listed in the AFD. To check the VOR receiver using a checkpoint, the following method is used. When the aircraft is over the designated checkpoint, with the appropriate frequency tuned and the OBS set to the published radial, the CDI will center with a from indication. Allowable accuracy is plus or minus 4 degrees for a ground check and plus or minus 6 degrees for an airborne check. If the aircraft is equipped with dual VORs, they may be checked against each other. The maximum permissible variation when tuned to the same VOR is 4 degrees. The results of the VOR accuracy test must be logged in the aircraft logbook or other record. The VOR test log must include the date, place, bearing error, and a signature. All VOR stations transmit a Morse code identifier, interrupted only by a voice identifier on some stations, or to allow the flight service station to speak on the same frequency. Absence of a VOR identifier means that maintenance is being performed on the station and the signal may not be reliable. You may select the desired course or radial by turning the OBS. The CDI needle will center when you are on the selected or on the reciprocal of the selected radial. The to-from indicator is used to determine which radial you are on. Remember, VOR radials extend outward from the station. So if your selected indication centers with a from indication, you are on that selected radial. A full-scale deflection of the CDI from the center represents a deviation of approximately 10 to 12 degrees. The to-from indicator, also known as the ambiguity indicator, shows whether the selected course will take you to or from the station. A to indication shows that the OBS selection is on the other side of the VOR station. A from indication shows that the OBS selection and the aircraft are both on the same side of the VOR station. When you fly over a VOR, the to-from indicator will reverse, indicating station passage. The position of your aircraft can always be determined by rotating the OBS until the CDI centers with a from indication. The course displayed indicates the radial. The VOR indicator displays information as though your aircraft were going in the direction of the course selected. However, actual heading does not influence the display. VOR radials, all of which originate at the VOR antenna, diverge as they radiate outward. For example, while the 011 degree radial and the 012 degree radial both start at the same point, 1 nautical mile from the antenna, they are 100 feet apart. When 2 nautical miles from the antenna, they are 200 feet apart. So at 60 nautical miles, the radials would be 1 nautical mile or 6,000 feet apart from each other. The CDI uses a series of dots to indicate any deviation from the selected course. Each dot on the CDI is equal to approximately 2 degrees of deviation. Thus, a 1-dot deviation at a distance of 30 nautical miles from the station would indicate that your aircraft was 1 nautical mile from the selected radial. To orient where you are in relation to the VOR, first determine which radial is selected by looking at the OBS setting. Next, determine whether you are flying to or away from the station by looking at the to-from indicator. The to-from indicator will tell you which hemisphere you are located in. Finally, determine how far off you are from the selected course by looking at the CDI needle deflection. Remember that aircraft heading does not affect orientation to the VOR. Another practical way of determining where you are in relation to the VOR is to rotate the CDI until you get the needle to center with a from indication. Next, turn to that heading. You are now flying away from the station on the selected radial. If you rotate the CDI to center the needle with a to indication and turn to fly the heading depicted by the CDI course selector, you would be then flying to the station on the radial, which is the approximate reciprocal of both your heading and of your initial course.